Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is the Best Ever You show. We're live with Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino. That would be me saying my own name. And Katie Eastman. Katie, I think we need one of those intros taped for us. Have you heard some of these radio shows? They have. Yeah, you know, like, and now here are your hosts. You know, one of those.
Oh yeah, we could have our own jingle. That would be really fun.
I think
fun.
We need a jingle. That is a great idea. A jingle, a dance, a jig, a video, something.
Yeah.
Rebecca's like, oh heavens, what am I doing on this show?
I just listen.
You know. Okay. In the background there is Rebecca Croson. And she's Mrs. Virginia International 2011, and we're going to ask you to hang on just a second while we talk about the fact that, Katie, are you sure you didn't crack open my pasta sauce and take a swig?
I promise you. I don't believe you. I carried your pasta sauce all the way from Oregon, and it was in one piece. There was no way I was cracking it open. No, I did not eat it.
Staring at you over there on your counter, you know, like, open me up.
They're staring at me, but no, I have not. Instead, I had my Delamore, and it was so good.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm all set.
All right. How are you gearing up for this big snowstorm we're going to get tomorrow? Are you really excited?
Oh, me? Are you serious?
Come on.
I just came back from the West Coast where the snow melted in an hour. I'm in total denial. I'm going to go into my little Katie cave and hibernate.
Like Katie cave? That's funny. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Well, let's charge on. We have a wonderful guest with us today, and thank you for joining us. Her name is Rebecca Croson, and I got your name right, didn't I?
You did. It's pronounced correctly. That's good.
Yeah, here we go. And thank you so much for joining us. And I think Katie wants to just dive right in with a billion questions. Katie is like on the edge of her seat waiting. And go for it, Katie.
Oh, I just love your background is full of so much to ask you about. And I guess where I want to start is what's most important to you that you'd like people to know about you?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, of course, my story is important as to why I'm such an advocate for blood donation and everything, but it's important to know that I don't look at my life as a survivor and I don't look at my life as a victim of a disease or anything. I look at it as I've been blessed with a second chance to live. And so I really go about my life and enjoy each day and each adventure. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of good things to come, and I've been really blessed to have each day, and I wouldn't be here without those donors. So I just want people to know why I speak so passionately about what I do.
Yes, and for those of you following along with us on your computer, frequently we have that where you're listening to us and on your computer, you can go to Rebecca's website, which is www.itshiptogive.org. Let me spell that for you. It's ITSHIP, the number 2, give, GIVE.org. And Rebecca, could you talk a little bit about maybe what's happened to you so that people can understand why you're so passionate about blood donation?
Absolutely. This really kind of developed about 6.5, almost 7 years ago now. I had a period of time in the summer of that year where I was just very lethargic and sick, but didn't realize it. You know, we're all busy moms. We work full-time, children, and, you know, you just go and go and go. You keep your engines running until you get home at night and you just fall asleep and pray when you wake up the next day that it'll be a good day. So yeah. I was just thinking I was a very tired mom, and in the middle of August, you would see me with a sweater, a scarf, a hat, gloves, which is very abnormal for Virginia, of course, being as humid and 90 to 100 degrees. And so I thought, you know, that's probably not right. So I made an appointment to go to the doctor, and I'm a very independent individual. And this was the only time that I said to my husband that I needed him to drive me to the doctor because I didn't feel well enough to do that. So he was concerned immediately. And sure enough, once we arrived, a really quick look at me, very pale gums, very pale eyes, no color to my fingertips. And the doctor knew that I was anemic. And when he read the numbers, it was very scary to see a doctor's face kind of go pale. And he looked right at me and he said, "You need to immediately go to the hospital. You need a blood transfusion." And when I got there, they revealed the numbers to me, and I was considered walking dead. They did not know how I was functioning or how I was moving throughout the day. And on that particular day, I received 6 units of blood and a full unit of iron.
Oh, yeah, six. Yeah, six. It says here 6 units of blood and 1 unit of iron. Wow.
Wow. And your body holds, for women, your body holds about 10 units of blood. So I really was on death's door, and it took 3 days in the hospital to go through all of that. And subsequently, of course, being diagnosed with acute iron deficiency, and then this past summer I was diagnosed with autoimmune pernicious anemia, which is another form of anemia that compromises the red blood cells, but has to do with your B12. My body has an antibody against B12, so it does not allow it into the body, so I have to take injections and things. And I've received quite a few transfusions throughout the years in order to kind of maintain and sustain life. And because of all that, I'm not able to have children anymore. So there's quite a few things that have gone into the long-term care. But I discovered through this entire process that there were just not enough transfusion or blood recipients that were speaking up and talking about it. They would receive it and then just go on. But I'm here to be able to say thank you to donors and let them see the good that they do, because there is so much that they do. And for those people that don't donate, there is an opportunity for them to be involved, whether that's through advocacy or just donating their time as a volunteer. Of course, there's also a lot of fundraising that has to go on for nonprofits. But really, it's an opportunity for me to be a voice and to connect donors to the lives that they're saving.
Absolutely. Katie, go ahead. I thought I was going to interrupt you.
What I was going to ask you is, I mean, your story is incredibly inspiring, that you have such a great attitude, and I'm feeling really guilty about talking about going into my Katie cave for a snowstorm.
Oh, no, I have that
money,
too.
Because I, too, believe we all need to live each day, even in the snow. But where did you... I love to ask this question of everyone. When you go through a tough time and you garner this inner strength, where do you get yours from?
My daughter. You know, I did not want to miss out on anything that she was doing in her life. And I had already, especially that particular time when I was really sick, I didn't know it. I was sleeping a lot. And I was missing out on the little things that she was doing. And at that time, she was only 3 and a half. And they're so busy. You know, Tyler is so busy, and I was missing that. And I kind of vowed to myself that I never wanted to miss anything if it meant that it was taking care of myself and my health. So I made a promise that I would take care of myself so that I can see every day. And she's 11 now, so I haven't missed anything. So it really comes from her.
Oh, neat. Well, as the mother of a daughter, I can truly appreciate that. That's really neat. And what are you teaching her about this?
Well, you know, and actually she goes to some events with me. Now that she's 11, I take her to a few things, because blood donation can be a, for lack of a better word, it's a icky process when you're young and you don't understand it. But I do take her with me to different functions so that she can see what people are doing and educate her on the reasons why. And, of course, in Virginia, you can start donating at the age of 16, and so she's just a few years off of that. But I think that by her being involved and she can see what other people are doing for people like myself and other recipients, that she sees the value of charity and the value of volunteering. And I think that's an important lesson to learn at an early age.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Could you talk, Rebecca, for those listening, could you talk a little bit about, pardon my cough, I'm sorry, I've been sick for a little bit here and I'm still kind of coughing a little bit. Could you talk a little bit about why blood is needed around the country?
Oh, absolutely.
Or world, for that matter.
I think, it's around the world. It is a universal cause. And let's just talk about some of the statistics that happen in the United States. Every year, about 4.5 million people need a transfusion, which translates to about every 2 seconds someone in the United States needs a blood transfusion. And that can be a range of a catastrophic event, childbirth, heart surgeries, premature births, or that could be someone like myself that just requires it in order to sustain life, you know, as a maintenance. Mm-hmm. And only 37% of the U.S. population is even eligible to donate, but only 10% of those actually donate. So the numbers are low, and let's talk about December, January, and February this year across the United States. More than 35,000 blood drives have been canceled because of weather.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
Our supplies are drastically low across the board, across the United States, North America, Canada included. And the need is so great. People just don't realize it. Think about someone that you might know that is on chemotherapy, they have cancer. They're usually a blood recipient. And that's not usually talked about as far as their treatment, but they usually receive transfusions at some point during their treatment. So it's a universal need, and it encompasses so many other ailments, and it aids to their kind of their recovery. You know, of your fresh blood supply aids to their recovery, and it's so important to so many different things, and people don't realize that. So it's just a matter of educating them.
You know, one of the things we used to do, I'm a medical social work background, and one of the things we used to do with friends of family members, friends and family members who wanted to help someone who was sick, is suggest that, is, okay, go give blood
right.
in their name. And
I don't think people think
about that.
They don't, unless, of course, you're right there in an imminent need situation, and you can always donate in someone's honor in their name. And also, if you're pregnant, you can donate your umbilical cord blood, which can be stored and saved for you, or given to someone else that might need the actual stem cells in there. And that's just from the umbilical cord blood after you've given birth. So that's another option.
For someone listening who's never given blood, I've tried to give blood once. Actually twice, and have been turned down due to low iron. For someone wanting to give blood, what is the first step that you take? Where do you go?
Okay,
what do you do? What's it like? You know, just very, very, very basic.
It's a very simple process, and it takes 1 hour of your time, where the actual donation of blood takes about 10 minutes. But the first thing you do after you contact your local blood donor centers, you will go in, and they will give you about a 50 to 60 question, brief physical medical history kind of overview, and you'll answer those, and they will do a very quick, like you were rejected on iron, and so they'll very quickly check iron because that's usually the first thing that will determine if you're a donor or not. And they'll quickly do that. Once you pass that, you'll go on over. They'll prep you to donate the blood, and you'll donate a pint unless you choose to do a double donation, which takes a lot longer. But if you donate just a pint, it takes about 10 minutes, and when you're done, they'll let you sit for a few minutes, and then they'll take you over, and you'll have a snack, collect yourself so that you're not lightheaded, and then you'll be out the door. It's really not a long process at all. It's just a matter of taking a little bit of time.
So when you donate blood, does it make you sick for the whole day or anything like that?
No, it won't make you sick. It might make you a little lightheaded at first, and that's why there's a little bit of refreshments there to kind of replenish yourself a little bit. And I wouldn't do any physical activity as far as going to the gym or anything that evening or later that day, and then you can usually resume regular activity the next day.
Okay.
It's an easy process.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit more also with you about your efforts. What are you doing around the country and in Virginia and so forth with respect to this foundation that you have? Where are you going?
Well,
where can people meet you or see you?
Well, I actually had a really good meeting yesterday with the president and chief ambassador of the Foundation for America's Blood Centers, which America's Blood Centers, most people think of the Red Cross, and which is wonderful. And it, usually if a blood center is not with the Red Cross, they're with America's Blood Centers. They are the United States' largest independent underwriter for independent centers across the United States, north and into Canada. So it's an international company, And by working with them as a foundation, I now have an opportunity to go visit all of their blood centers across the United States. So that's an opportunity of over about 4,000 centers. And I'm just stepping onto their speakers bureau, with this, which they have just started creating within the last few months. And I'll be stepping onto that bureau with them and also partnering with INCEPT, which is in Ohio. And what they do is they are a call center for the donation centers, and they're making all the appointments for these centers, which is very critical because they can keep tabs on regular donors and reschedule them, or they can reschedule specific blood types that might be needed. So I'm working with these organizations, which are my support system for reaching out throughout. Right now I've been out through the Mid-Atlantic and Midwest, and now with this new partnership, it's going to take me probably across the United States.
Nice.
Oh,
so,
that's wonderful.
I'll be everywhere.
Sorry, one reason why I was just really excited to have you on today as a guest is, I think I shared this with you too, is because of my dad. And my dad had to have blood transfusions when he had his strokes and brain surgeries and so forth. So, you know, the cause is near and dear to my heart too. And even though I can't give blood myself, it makes me a little frustrated, but
I
think it's making, actually, when I looked at this and everything, I might go back as an older adult and see. That was quite a number of years ago, and I think it scared me so much that I just never went back and bothered with it. And
should recheck
you know,
that, because your numbers change
so
regularly.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you just check that, and maybe you can't today, and you know, maybe we need to eat more protein and more broccoli and things, and then go back in 30 days and you'll be fine. So it's just something you should try. But even if they can't accept your blood donation, there's so many other ways to partner with and work for blood donor centers. They always need volunteers and advocates, or, you know, agree to be a coordinator and host a drive. You know, so there's other things that you can do if you can't donate. There's certainly other things and other ways you can do to be involved.
Yeah, I've seen, when I was a kid, they used to have like a blood mobile. Have you ever heard of that?
Right.
Or like a van would
actually
come?
Most centers will have a blood mobile, and usually a blood mobile might be what goes to the high school or the senior centers and places that you can go, you know, so people can donate blood. And usually those in an average day will take 25 to 45 donors throughout the day. And for every unit donated, that saves 3 lives. So, you know,
that's a big deal. Yeah.
Having 25, you're going to save, you know, 75 to 100 people. So, but the blood mobile is wonderful, and it's, of course, visually fun to see. And you stop by and, like, hey, I can donate. So, and of course, there are the larger drives that set up, whether it's a hotel lobby or maybe a school gym or a church. But there's all kinds of organizations that agree to host drives. So you never know. It could be one right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Katie. What else were you going to – you had all these questions you were going to ask, Rebecca.
Well, you've got such a background. You've got a legal background.
Yeah.
And then I was curious how you got involved with the Dove campaign.
Oh, you know, I had a really good time with the Dove campaign. I still do some things with them. I went through a period, even before I was sick and things, I went through a period in my life where I want to say that I weighed about 350 pounds. And so I lost a lot of weight, but I never lost the stigma of being uncomfortable in my own skin. And I decided, well, I probably feel that way. I know other people do too. So I started looking for programs for myself to help me at that time with my self-esteem, and found the Dove program, and worked with some local young ladies, and then was able to branch out and really work in the community and work with parents and help educate them on some of the signs to look for low self-esteem. And, you know, it was really personally very helpful to me. It helped me grow as an individual, and it really let me see that, you know, as different as we all are, we really are alike. We all really kind of feel bad about ourselves sometimes, whether you're in the what they call the popular crowd or maybe the not-so-popular crowd. Everybody has issues, and just accept that and accept who you are.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were just having this wonderful conversation about, as women, when we see an image of a woman portraying herself in a way that appears to be demeaning, how do we accept in a non-judgmental way that woman's choice to depict herself that way, when I'm a mother of a daughter, you're a mother of a daughter, And I as a therapist have seen so many young girls just destroyed by that kind of image. And what can we say? I mean, what message does the Dove campaign send out?
Well, you know, it's not so much we say, it's what we do. You know, we learn more through action. And I've always been very careful, especially in front of my daughter, not to say, gosh, I think I look fat today, or I don't like the color of my hair, or I wish I had this, or I wish this was different. I'm very careful not to say that in front of her. By setting that example of being comfortable in my skin, now privately in the mirror, I might say some things to myself. We all do sometimes. Just, or, you know, you just kind of have one of those days where, like, your pants aren't right, or this isn't right. So you have to accept that that is life. But really, we just need to send a message that it's okay to be different. It's okay to be unique and unconventional, and you don't have to dress like everyone else. Just be yourself, and there's no better you than you. So don't aspire to be anything different than what you are. But again, that comes through action, and so we have to set the example at home. And then they can go out into the world with that same kind of preface in their mind, that they can go out and do that themselves.
Well, and I am so guilty of having fashion magazines all over the place. And I started to realize how I was influencing her when she started drawing pictures of herself in those outfits. And I was like, okay.
It's tough. One of the best exercises that you can do if you have a small group of girls is you get those magazines and you give them a task. Cut out what you think is beautiful in the magazine. And more times than not, you'll see pictures of skinny, skinny models and these things that they cut out and paste on their page, but they don't cut out beautiful things as in nature or, you know, the real people and those kind of things. They aren't cutting those things out. And then you can spark a discussion on what makes that beautiful. And then, of course, you can talk about, you know, the before and after airbrushing effect from those photos and what really is beautiful. You know, it's a contradiction sometimes when you're involved in pageantry because, you know, airbrushing.
I was just
going to
ask you that.
People ask it all the time, but I don't, in my photos, I want them to look like me, so I don't ask for over airbrushing. I mean, we all have wisdom lines as we get older and wisdom colored hair and, you know, things happen. But I accept that, you know, and that's part of my character. That's part of your character or whomever. And if you airbrush the lines away or if you airbrush things away to the extent that it doesn't look like myself, then that's not I can't even accept that of myself. So when I put something out, I hope that it looks like me. And I would love to see magazines do that too, but you know, the industry, they're going to go with probably what sells more often than not. But to go through and explain that actual process to girls and let them see that. And there's actually a video that does that, that sees the whole smoke and mirrors of it all.
Well, we're having a slumber party here tonight with a bunch of eight-year-old girls, and we're having very healthy snacks. And
good.
We're doing real clean food and I would love to do that project and see what happens, but that's probably too intense. But still, I think it's a great idea.
You know, it's a good project, though, and you just get to see what's on their mind. And at 7 and 8 years old, they're probably going to cut out pictures of the puppies and the dogs and jewelry and those kind of things. It's when you get into that tween age and up into the 14, 15 age range that you see some very interesting things, and that really is an opportunity to have a really big learning discussion.
Well, you know, it's a great idea for a Girl Scout troop. I have a friend who runs a Girl Scout troop. That would be an awesome discussion for them.
And the Girl Scouts partner with Dove, so they're a big supporter of the Dove program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Huh.
Yeah, they do a lot with them. So they probably even have some books on it that they just may not have delved into just yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, Rebecca, the one that was the second reason why I just absolutely love having you with us today is because I think you realize the depth of people, pageantry, the industries, the modeling industry, and everything. And even in the pageant industry, the depth and variety of people involved. You know, you're one of the contestants that is there to keep it real. I mean, you're not, you know, you're one of those that isn't going to airbrush yourself you know, so that you, you know, look 25 or, you know what I mean? You just,
right.
You're you.
No. And you know what? I feel better at 38 than I ever did at 25. So, you know, I mean,
I, do,
I just,
yeah.
You know, you're a much different person now. And I just, you know, this is who I am and this is me. And I don't try to be the mold of anyone else. You know, I am who I am, and that's what I can present. And hopefully, you know, things will work out in my favor, but I don't know. There's going to be a lot of beautiful women there, each with their own personal and beautiful story. And I think that when I personally go to compete, as long as I bring my best and I do my best, then I can't ask for anything less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I'm just so different. I go there to, like, I go to pageants. I was talking to Katie about this because Katie's like, of all the people mm-hmm. to be involved in pageants, why are you involved in pageants? I don't get your brain. Because I'm a people promoter, and pageants have a stigma of, you know, clawing each other to death. And I'm like, no.
No.
love people. I go to pageants because I just absolutely adore people like you who've got these, I love pageants with causes and I love pageants with scholarships. Those are my two
right.
things. I just absolutely love it when there's this beautiful, you know, this beautiful woman, and beautiful, I mean, in all areas, you know, it doesn't mean you have to have a pretty face or pretty hair or fake or anything. I mean, just, you know, a beautiful woman with a beautiful thing to talk about. And Katie, you love this too. And when you have a cause or something, you know, that's near and dear to your heart about yourself that you're, you know, talking about. And then with the pageants for the younger, you know, kid, I don't want to call them kids, but for the younger women, the scholarships
right.
involved are just tremendous. I mean, like the Miss America pageant gives millions away every year to all of these women across the country to go to college.
Oh, I know. I know. And my daughter, she just did her very first preteen Miss America prelim about 2 weeks ago. She did really well. And she's really excited to do another one. And I said, that's fine. You know, of course, academics are first. But she's excited, and that is one of those systems I wouldn't give a second thought to participating in, because it is a scholarship-based program and the community service and things, because that's what I'm about too. I prefer to be about the community service and the scholarship and things, because that's where my heart lies.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the Mrs. International pageant is all about that. It's all of these women coming together with all of these different things to speak about.
Right.
I mean
just think the diverse topics that we'll see in July when we're there and hear about. Certainly I will get an education and meet a lot of wonderful ladies, I'm sure. I have a very close, tight-knit group of girlfriends that have come from
You guys, I have to take a call real quick. I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Thanks.
Rebecca and I'll just chat. That's funny.
But I have a really close, tight-knit group of girlfriends that I wouldn't have if it wasn't for pageantry, and they're the nicest women in the world. So
isn't it neat? That's what I'm discovering with this as well, because I've never really been in I've been in a few teen pageants and so forth, but I went
mm-hmm.
to Mrs. United States in 2006, and that was my first, you know, my second national pageant, but my first one as an adult. And
right.
you know, you just fall in love with people. I mean, they're just so cool. And me too, where you just buddies. I don't know. It's just a good group of people.
It's fun, and
it's
I'm back.
Really
sorry.
And, you know, you're sharing a lifetime experience with a group, and of course, it's intense at times. You know, it's very intense.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. You know, and that's okay too. But it is a lot of fun, and I keep that in perspective. You know, it's fun, and I'm going to enjoy it, and that's what it's there for, and it gives me an opportunity to, of course, speak about my platform and my cause, but ultimately I just look forward to enjoying the company of lots of nice ladies and a little bit of a vacation afterwards, so it'll be nice.
That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, all right. But since we probably have some pageant people listening, I'm sure we have
mm-hmm.
a group of women that just are listening to Rebecca, every word she's speaking, going, I want to know about pageants a little. I have one question to ask you. How can I personally, and this can translate to other people, too, who are worried about their feet, how do you make your feet not hurt so badly.
I don't know. I don't know. I have to tell you, I'm already dreading that. I think I want to make.
I am too. I'm thinking, oh my God, why did I set myself up for this?
Well, you know, here's one thing I'm going to enjoy. I am not flying to Chicago. I'm actually driving out with my mom. And so I'm going to pack in my truck. I'm going to pack one of those little foot massagers where you can put the water in and let my feet go. I already told my mom. I said that's going to be one of the first things I put in there because I have heard the ladies come back and say that their feet ache so badly. But I think, well, beauty is pain sometimes, and so we're going to have to put on a little bit of pain to go through the week.
So. I could not feel my feet. My husband was like, what is wrong? I'm like, I can't feel my feet. And I could not feel my feet for about a month. They didn't come to life for about a month. I don't know what I did or what, but I remember standing there on stage as they were announcing the top 10, thinking I was going to pass out from the balls of my feet hurting so bad. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have heard stories. I have a couple of girlfriends that went to Miss International a couple of years ago, and, of course, some last year, too. And that was the universal comment afterwards, that your feet are going to hurt, Rebecca. And I thought, oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh.
So I'm packing a foot massager, a foot soaker in the truck. I'm going to take that with me.
And I'm having to fly, so I'm going to have to, like, FedEx one or something. Buy it when we get there.
Well, I thought I can pack all of that luggage under the weight limits and the gowns. I'm like, it just would stress me out. So I said, well, let's drive. And it's going to turn out to a nice thing. I'm driving out with my mom. And then later in the week, my dad and daughter and everybody else comes. And then once we're done in Chicago, my mom and dad are going to go on and go to Mount Rushmore and do some things in Montana. So they're taking a road trip afterwards, and then I'll take a road trip home. So it'll work out for everyone, but I'm driving just because of the sheer amount of luggage I think I might have.
That's hilarious. All right, we're going to go back. We're going to go back a little bit. I know we're bouncing around a little bit, but I had a feeling we would because there's so much about you. I was wondering if you could go back to maybe your own teenage years and talk about who you were as a teenager and how that shaped who you are today.
Oh, my gosh. Very different, I think, as I am today. Back in my teenage years, I would be a member of Glee. I did show choir and all of these things, but I was very active in that. Confident in myself as a cheerleader, show choir person, looking forward to going into college and just kind of there wasn't anything that the future held that I wasn't ready to take on. You know, just eyes wide open and go into it. I think that I was very gregarious and just really open to a lot of things and ready to tackle the world. And, you know, life educates you as you go along. And I think that now I'm much more conservative, very different. If I met myself in my teenage years, I don't know if I would recognize myself. Very different as we grow up and you know, life takes on its new meaning. But that's the beauty of life. You can be a different person today than you may have been 10 years ago, you know, and that's the beauty of being an individual. So it's exciting.
Yeah. Katie, did you join us? Is she back with us, Rebecca?
I thought she was.
No, I don't think she is. And so then, okay, so I'm just going to keep going on that because I love to hear.
You're fine.
I love to take people back and then kind of go back forward because, you know, I don't know you at all. I've never met you or anything.
Right.
And so hearing the history of you is neat. When you were in your 20s and so forth, what did you do in your 20s?
Well, I was going to college, and I ended up going to business school and received the legal assistant certifications and things and then went out into the corporate world, worked for different event planning companies, and kind of found my niche as far as I did event planning for a while and in the construction market. I actually, you know, during all of that time, I had met my husband in high school, so we dated 6.5 years before we were ever married. So we were together, been together for a long time. So it's just kind of life kind of took on its own meaning then. And we were married for about 4 years and then our daughter came along. So, life as a wife and mom are certainly different than I ever thought they would be when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
you know, when you're living for someone else, you know, you literally are here because I really want to fulfill her dreams and make her dreams come true. It's not so much about what I want anymore, but it's very much about what she wants.
Isn't that wild?
That was why I stepped off the phone.
Because of Callie.
Yeah, because of Callie. I had a kid-related phone call. I apologize, but I had to run and get back.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, isn't that wild how that shifts once you have children? It just completely...
It does. You know, it's the dichotomy of what your mindset is when you're in your early 20s and living for yourself and out doing things. But then as you get older and mature and you have children and you're certainly living to take care of them, and want them to grow up and prosper. So it's very different than I ever thought, but I love it. I love every minute of it.
Now, you said that at one point you lost a lot of weight. I did not know that about you at all. Did you gain weight with pregnancy?
It's been like 10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. I struggle with my weight so badly. Ugh.
Well, and I think a lot of women do, whether you're a skinny woman or a fuller figured woman. I think we all have our own body image issues. And so I never, you know, I'm never judged based on that because everyone has their own good days and bad days. But I was really unhappy for a period of time with myself. And so I had just gained a lot of weight. And when Lexi was about a year old, she was outside playing in the front yard and I couldn't go out. I had asthma, really bad knees, my back was bad. I had borderline sleep apnea, hypertension, I had everything, and I couldn't go outside and play with her, and I just stood at the front door, and I was crying, and I said, I have to change this, and so I went to the doctor and changed life, you know, it just changed life, and life is much different than what it was when I was very sedentary at 350 pounds than it is today, so it's so much more enjoyable.
That's really inspiring. That's a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is. It's been about 10 years now, so I don't usually think about it so much unless someone asks me, every once in a while I do run into someone that I knew from a time when I was heavy and they don't recognize me, but, you know, I'm still the same person. I'm still here, so, happier than what I was.
Yeah, we've got so many people that we try and help with losing weight on Best Ever You, especially with our fitness challenges and so forth, and we're about to start another fitness challenge March 1st with the help of Shay Vaughn, who is Vince Vaughn's mom, and then also Sarah Sullivan, our nutritionist. And, we've had people lose, one person's lost 119 pounds, another person's lost 55 pounds,
We've had it
all over the place. But, yeah, Katie and I are going to be joining this round. And I kind of join loosely every year, and I gain and lose the same 20 pounds. It's joyous. hopefully, I think this year with Katie's help, I'm going to learn to just keep the weight off.
Lord. You'll learn it when I learn it. I'm still learning it, too. My issue is just being not allowing myself to be swayed by my emotions.
Chocolate?
And hormones, big time.
Right. Yeah,
you guys are pops compared to, I'm 50 and menopausal.
I'm no pop. I'm going to be 42 pretty soon here. I'm hardly
a
pup.
Yeah, that's still a pup. And that really does impact my weight a lot. And the ups and downs of the hormonal emotions. And it's a challenge that I'm still working on. And I'll keep working on it.
Well, you know, I want to find the person who is waist thin in a house full of 5 boys. If you're out there, call me. Because, oh, my gosh, there is so much food and crap food that goes in and out of these people in this house.
My sister has 3 boys, and they eat, and I think, oh, my gosh, I'd have to buy things that I don't like in order to have it in the house.
That's what I do. Oh, my gosh, Rebecca, that's exactly what I do. I'm like, okay, well, you guys go buy chips, but buy the barbecue kind and the sour cream kind because I don't eat those. And if you're going to buy chocolate chips, buy them with nuts in them, and I won't eat those. And if you're going to buy, I have a whole grocery list that is stuff I don't like.
Well, now we have Girl Scout cookies, and that's just, you know, Thin Mints are calling my name from the freezer. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But we'll just leave them there.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. Well, I want to take a break. We have 20 minutes left to speak with you, and I wanted to just take a break for 1 second and make sure people know that we're talking with Rebecca Croson, and she's the founder of itshiptogive.org, which is, you know, the main point of really, I know we're chit-chatting along here, but we really want to focus in on your organization and so that people can learn how to give blood or learn how they're saving lives by giving blood or even, Rebecca, telling somebody about it so they may tell somebody else who might tell somebody else to give blood. It, you know, the whole pass the word on advocacy thing seems to be kind of helpful with this kind of thing. But I want to give people your website. It's itshiptogive.org, and the two is just the number two in there. And where can people see you again coming up? Do you have any events coming up where people could actually perhaps meet you?
Well, sure. I have a couple of things coming up, and tomorrow I'll actually be at a Go Red event down in Richmond. It's a Go Red luncheon, and then in March I'll be doing at a local high school. We're recruiting blood donors at a local high school for a blood drive they're having at the end of March. So I don't know that you can actually show up at the high school, but I will be traveling to Akron, Ohio, in April to visit with my friends at INSEP to thank them and their call center. But I will also be out there to meet different folks and to say thank you to blood donors. And then, of course, if anyone out there is hosting a blood drive, I always like to come by and personally shake the hands of donors. And that makes a big difference to them because they don't usually have that done or they just see a piece of paper with someone's face on it. But I want to shake their hand and say thank you. And that one-to-one interaction is very important with empowering them to be a regular donor every 56 days. And that's what we want. We want them to be regular donors.
Yeah, especially, you know, and it's meeting you, and they get, you know, I love all the pictures of you with your crown and banner on, too, and especially the ones on your website of you with your daughter. And that's always fun to do, is to just go have your picture taken with the beauty queen and meet and hear all about your story, too. So I would think, you know, if people want to come, they can contact you via your website, too, if somebody does want to schedule you. For an appearance or something like that, you can just go right to your website and probably request that Mrs. Virginia International be at your events, which is always a
huge
plus. They
can, or they can also contact my director, Deshaun, either way, and we will get that scheduled. I keep a pretty busy schedule, although the weather in January, February really kind of thwarted quite a few appointments. So,
right.
You know, we're getting all of those rescheduled. I have a couple of flights that need to be rebooked, so still working on that, but I can come to you wherever you are.
Okay, yeah, that's really good information, because just because you're Mrs. Virginia International doesn't mean that doesn't translate nationally. I think it's really important to know that Rebecca is Rebecca, and Rebecca can get on an airplane and go anywhere, and it's a great cause.
Yes, I can.
Nationally and internationally, you know, to raise awareness all around the country. It's not just in your state.
No, it's not. And, of course, again, blood donation is a universal need. We're having some very specific shortages right now in parts of Africa where a lot of the blood supply is also infected, and so we're having issues getting clean donors, you know, because there's higher levels of HIV and AIDS in certain parts of Africa and certain places. And so we're trying to get clean blood supply going everywhere, which is really important. in order to maintain a healthy blood supply, because there is no, there's currently not a synthetic option available. So this will be our only way to have blood. There is an organization that is working on a synthetic blood product, certainly not approved by the FDA at this time. And if it's ever approved, it's also not cost effective at $5,000 a unit. When your average emergency requires anywhere from 6 to 15 units. But that is 10 to 15 years down the road, and it's just not a viable option for most people. And that's being formulated primarily for the military, but because when we ship blood from here overseas to Afghanistan and Iran and other places, it's not reaching those locations in time to where it's still safe and usable. So we're having to find options that are available.
I don't think before speaking with you, I realized the magnitude of the need.
It's so universal, and there are people around the world that require it. You know, in the United States every day, about 43,000 units are used, but that's only in the United States. Around the world, you can probably triple that number, if not 10 times that number, on a daily basis. And so the need is greater. You know, it's a kind of a supply and demand,
yeah,
where the demand is great, the supply is low. It's something that we need to be conscious of every day.
Yeah.
And it's really important, too, that one of the things that I want to emphasize is what you were saying, because I know for myself, I always think of giving blood for an emergency. But the reality is there are many, many medical conditions that require blood transfusions all the time. And I don't think that
right.
many people know that.
People don't understand that. And also when there are these catastrophic events like we're just having with New Zealand and earthquakes or what happened in Haiti, the United States cannot just arbitrarily ship units of blood. The country has to request it to come in. And so even if you go donate for that cause, you know, which we want people to donate, but until the other country requests that supply, we cannot ship anything there. And so that request may not come for days, weeks, or a month after the event happens. And if you donated a month ago, of course, it's time to donate again, or the supply is already depleted.
Right.
And so if you become a regular donor, you know, the supply is there. The rarest blood type of blood is the one that's not on the shelf. So
mm-hmm.
we need people to donate as a regular donor, whether that's platelets, whole blood, or red blood cells. You know, you can certainly do different components of blood, but to just be a regular donor is what we're looking for you to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just made a very good point. Is there a certain blood type that's in more demand than others? Or?
Right now, no. All blood supplies right now are low. They are
okay.
very, very low.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't want people to just think that, we only need O negative or O positive blood. No, we need everything. O negative is a universal donor for red blood cells,
okay.
and AB is the universal recipient. But we do need every blood type
everything.
Available. And the rarer your blood type, you know, we certainly want you to make the moves to be a donor.
Okay. And then the other question I had was, you were saying that in other countries they request blood from the United States. Do the other countries also have the same system we have set up for collecting blood? You know, all across the world, is the system the same? Or does it vary from place to place to place, and in some countries they don't even have it, for example?
Right. There are some universal rules and regulations regarding blood donation and collection. And then each individual country might have its own policies regarding, you know, the collection and distribution of that blood. Some countries may only have one blood donor center in the entire country. The Red Cross is prominent across the world, but that doesn't mean that they have a center everywhere. So you have independent agencies within each country.
Right.
America's blood centers, like I said, are here in the United States and Canada. So, but they all primarily will function under the same processes. Some of the cleaning processes of the blood is not necessarily the same, which is where you want to be careful.
Okay.
In the United States, there's 13 different screenings that go on, 11 of which are for diseases and things, infectious diseases, along with HIV and AIDS. So they're checking all kinds of things when they do that. And, of course, you get a regular check. If your cholesterol is high, you'll get a notification that your cholesterol is high after you've donated.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you do. You'll get a note. Usually after you donate for these centers, they'll send you a card that not only has your blood type, but they might send you a note that says, you know, you might want to go to your regular physician and check your cholesterol or things like that. But it doesn't mean that the blood's not good to use. They can still use it, but, you know, it just might mean that you might need to go to the doctor and have a checkup. So it's a really good personal health checkup, too, when you go donate.
Yeah. Katie, we've got 10 minutes and probably 1,000 things we could ask Rebecca. Did you have something else that you wanted to ask?
Who inspires you?
Who inspires me? You know, there's probably a lot of people that inspire me, but I had a really wonderful opportunity yesterday and did a little blog post about it. You know, at the State Pass, and I was asked a question, my on-stage question was, who would I have dinner with and why? And I immediately knew the answer, and that was Lauren Larson, and she is the president and chief ambassador for the Foundation of America's Blood Centers. And I wanted to meet her because during childbirth, she required 200 units of blood and had preeclampsia and has written a beautiful novel called Zuzu's Petals about her experience and you know, how she's living today. And she just really inspires me with the work that she does and the commitment that she has to the cause. And I had an opportunity yesterday to actually have lunch with her. And I have to tell you that just was an amazing experience after really just kind of not expecting that to ever happen. I was really blessed to enjoy that opportunity. And she even now inspires me more than she did the day before.
Cool. It really is wonderful when you meet your heroine or someone you admire.
It is, and she's so down to earth. It was just really nice. It was a great opportunity to go downtown and meet with her. So I was definitely blessed to do that.
When you now that you've met her and so forth, do you think you will always draw inspiration from her, or do you think that'll grow and you'll draw inspiration from somebody else now, or you know, how do you see that going?
Well, yeah, I think it grows. Kind of an enigma, you know, it's going to grow and grow. But I think in addition to her, I do draw inspiration from other places, and that's from my daughter and my family. I have a wonderful mom, you know, who has certainly kind of gone out into this world and done her own thing. But I watched her care for her mom as she passed away from Alzheimer's. So there are different areas you can draw inspiration from every day that can make you go on and be a better person and just be happy with life as it is. And I think that if you look around, probably your neighbor next door can give you inspiration too for even the smallest things. So you just have to look in the right places and you'll find it everywhere.
That's a really good point. You know, I think that part of being your best every day is looking around and being inspired by something. I think that's a great point. You're right. And having a purpose.
Yeah. It
having
is,
a
and
purpose.
Then,
and go ahead.
It's okay for that purpose to change. You know, it's okay.
Yep.
You can have a different direction and just accept that. I'm like, it's a different day and it's going this way. So I think that you have to be amendable and flexible to that change.
That's true, because some days you do have to go into your Katie cave.
Yeah, you do, and that's okay. You know what? That is okay. We all need those. That re-nourishes and replenishes
so funny,
us
Katie.
So that when we come out, we're energized.
Right.
You know,
right.
Rebecca Katie has an Academy Awards party on Sunday, and she said, Elizabeth, you want to come over in an evening gown? And I'm thinking, no.
No.
That's so funny. An evening gown.
Well,
gown.
My
like,
daughter
oh.
and I. My daughter and I do this.
I'm teasing
we get dressed
you, yeah.
up in gowns and
it's
dresses.
Adorable.
And we do a red carpet, and we sit and watch, and we drink sparkling cider, and we just and we just we talk
yeah,
about the
adorable.
Dresses and the dresses we like, and we diss the ones we don't like, and yeah, I know. I know why she's into fashion. But we have fun, and the thing that I love about it is it's showing her. And I always say this is dream night, because this is people
right.
who have worked hard, achieved a goal, and achieved a dream, made their dream come true.
Right.
And that's the way I always frame it, because it is. That's, to me, I like these acceptance speeches and the dresses.
Well, I think that's fun. I do that for Miss America. We do parties
yeah.
and tiaras. And
so do we. Yeah, you get the tiaras and the evening gowns and the whole bit. That's so cute. But, yeah, I'm coming over, but I'm coming over in slippers and jeans. Thank you very much.
That's
okay.
All right. That's fine. That's okay.
But,
the pants are acceptable.
Rebecca, with just a few, no pain in the feet. With just a few minutes to go, I wondered what some of your goals are. Like, what are some of the things that you still want to do that maybe you are working toward or that you're, you know, thinking about doing? Just you're just such an inspirational person. I just maybe you might have some grand thoughts before we go.
You know, I I think I have some grand goals and I have some very small goals. On the grander scale, and after yesterday's meeting with Lauren Larson and things, I see this one happening sometime in the very near future, is to be able to communicate and connect with blood donors across the United States and into Canada and some other countries. I really am looking forward to that, and the possibility is greater than ever before after yesterday. And that's on the very grand scale. On a small scale, I'm really looking forward to my daughter finishing fifth grade and seeing what's coming up for her this summer. You know, I enjoy those small things just as much as I do the big things. You know, sure, do I want to go and compete and be Miss International? Absolutely. But even more, I want to be able to go this summer and enjoy time at the beach, just on an uninterrupted time playing with her at the beach and with family and enjoying the small things, because the small things are just as goal-oriented as the big things. Because if you forget about the small things, the big things will never happen.
That's true. Very good. Well put. Well put.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I have so many questions for you, just even written down. I don't even know. You know, there's like no time left.
Oh,
I don't
just
know.
Go ahead.
What's one thing we haven't asked you that maybe you wanted to talk about that, you know, we've got, you know, since I've never met you or anything, I don't have the gift of, you know, knowing every single thing about you. What's one thing that you want to talk about?
You know, I would probably say the only other thing that I would talk about is just I'm looking forward to the experience in July as far as competing for Mrs. International. And I had just really been thinking about that, and I can't wait to meet the other contestants. And I think about myself, you know, I just want people to know that I'm a lot of fun. I'm not serious probably 90% of the time. I'm a big jokester, so, you know, just be ready for laughs, and I just like to have a great time, and we all have our quiet moments, you know, and we have to enjoy those quiet moments, but gosh, I've got a big laugh and a big heart, and I'm just there to have a really great time.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to meet you. We will. There's just such a neat group of people going there, and the word competing is a really tough word for me, because it just, you know, you want everybody to do well and have fun and be beautiful and everything, and it's just, it's a hard word for me. I don't know why.
It's hard. I mean, reality is one person
I don't
want to
go there
away.
And compete.
I know. One person walks away with a crown, but we all walk away with an experience of a lifetime that we'll never forget.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, it's going to be great no matter the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been just a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, just a riot to get to gab with you for a little while. And please, everyone, I guess the message would be please give blood, and please spread the word about giving blood, for sure, because the work that you're doing, Rebecca, is so very important, and I've witnessed it just on a personal level with my dad and so forth, and I just really appreciate all that you're doing, and I wish you good health.
Thank you, Katie, and I, definitely,
good health and well-being, and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and I wish you both the best, and Elizabeth, I will definitely see you in July and look forward to meeting
Perfect.
You, too.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you again. All right.
Goodbye,
good,
Rebecca.
Good luck in July.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank
we'll
you. Bye.
Should I say my standard line? Isn't she cool?
Oh, so delightful. That was such delightful. It just
she's
a,
down
she
to
is.
Earth.
She's a, well, and she's really, I mean, she's just a very well-rounded human being.
Yeah.
She's giving back. She's making every day count. She's taking what was, you know, lemon and made lemonade out of it.
She's
really living life the way, wouldn't it be great if all of us did? And and I think she's definitely an inspiration. And I love it when we have guests on that are so inspiring. You know,
yeah,
I get off the phone and I go, oh, that is just so cool.
Yeah, she's got so many components that make her Rebecca, from, you know, the Dove campaign to losing weight to being sick and turning it around and now being a probably an international spokesperson for, you know, her own foundation. It's Hip to Give. I mean, how cool is that? So more power to you.
That is pretty cool.
All right. Well, I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow over the snowstorm.
Oh.
No. You're happy, remember? You're zenning out in your Katie cave. You eat my pasta.
Yeah.
I'm coming over there to find you.
You have to come get your pasta.
I got to come get the pasta in my evening gown for the Academy Awards. Yeah, there's a big. All right.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. All right. Bye.